Hello there. Welcome to Cool Climate Living. I'm Susan Lacey. Coming up is Harmony Week. This is an Australian government initiative which celebrates cultural diversity, inclusiveness, respect and a sense of belonging for everyone. In today's program, we'll hear how Bathurst and surrounding areas are celebrating Harmony Week, including the Bathurst Storytelling Festival and Harmony Day on the 21st of March. Now, my first guest in today's program is Jock Cheetham. Jock is a senior lecturer at Charles Sturt University and he lectures in journalism. But his other role of recent times is that he is the festival director of the Bathurst Multicultural Storytelling Festival. Jock, how did this storytelling festival come about?
Thanks, Susan. Well, last year, 2019, was the first year of the Bathurst Multicultural Storytelling Festival. And we had seven events over 5 days. And the thinking behind it was that for a range of reasons, my late partner, Neralee Colvin, and I thought that there was a space for more story sharing and storytelling on the theme of multiculturalism in Bathurst in particular, where we moved in 2017.
Bathurst has a big multicultural population, doesn't it?
Not relative to Australia as a whole and not compared to, say, Sydney, but yeah, in absolute numbers, there are a lot of people. And it might not always be obvious to everybody because when you walk along the street, you can't always tell the extent of diversity or what have you. But for example, just to choose one community, the Filipino community, there's many hundreds. I've heard the number of 300, but it could well be up to 600 people in the Filipino community. And they meet and they have activities as a community, but of course they also integrate into Bathurst as a whole.
If we look at Australia more broadly, I've seen statistics that tell us that almost half of the population of Australia was born overseas. And there are over 70 Indigenous languages still being spoken in Australia. So when you use the term multicultural, Australia is probably quite unique in that regard, do you think?
In some ways, it's very similar to Canada, New Zealand, the US in the sense of that diversity. However, the way that that plays out is unique in Australia because it has its own history, but it's similar to other post-colonial societies. I think the diversity varies, of course. In some parts of Australia, there's a lot more Indigenous presence, including regional Australia. And in some parts of the cities, there's a high ethnic or multicultural diversity ranging across the whole globe, really, as we know.
I'm assuming that because Australia is such a multicultural country, that things like your storytelling festival, Harmony Day, as it sits under that, of course, and many other initiatives are designed to celebrate this particularly Australian way of acknowledging its own multiculturalism.
Yeah, I think the idea of multiculturalism goes back into Australian history. If you go back far enough, say 70 or 80 years, we were still in a white Australia policy and mentality. It was coming out of that in the 1970s that multiculturalism started to develop as an idea and as policy. You had things like ministers looking after that portfolio, and you had things like SBS established to cater to the greater diversity in Australia due to immigration that was changing its mix. Then you had debates about that mix, of course, throughout history. And then the idea of multiculturalism itself has been controversial at times. But the actual Harmony Day concept was established, I believe, in the late 90s. And it was deliberately aimed to celebrate Australia's success in multiculturalism. Now that, I believe, is a somewhat of a political ambition to frame multiculturalism in that way, rightly or wrongly, but that's one way to present what's happening in multiculturalism in Australia. And so that day, March 21, is framed by the government and the departments that run it as a celebration.
Now, I know that the Bathurst Council has been extremely supportive of Harmony Day and the Storytelling Festival, and they've provided support to you too, haven't they?
So Bathurst Council and other councils around Australia do participate in Harmony Day, and specifically they fund an event that they run outside of Bathurst Library in the forecourt on Saturday, March 21, and that's from 10 a.m. to noon. And there's a range of activities happening there in that space. And so they have also funded the Bathurst Multicultural Storytelling Festival.
What are your plans for the festival? There's a number of events taking place, aren't there?
Yeah, there's five main events and they're timed to coincide with Harmony Day. So it's time to be involved with the idea of thinking about multiculturalism and diversity that Harmony Day and Harmony Week kind of brings forth. So the first one is at the Bathurst Neighbourhood Centre, where they are running their multicultural lunch at noon on Friday, March 20. And we, as a festival, are supporting them, and they do that regularly anyway. On the Friday night, we're having a social connection forum straight after work. We are talking about the ways in which social connection works and also can be improved in Bathurst. So what are people doing to foster social connection? There's a lot, and there's a lot to discuss in that space.
Mm.
There's Wiradjuri storytelling the next day on the Saturday as part of the Bathurst Library's participation in the Council's Harmony Day event on the Saturday morning. On Saturday afternoon, there's a How I Got Here storytelling and story sharing session at BMEC. So that's from 3 to 6. And that's an opportunity for people to share the stories of how I got here. And we've actually got a storytelling writing competition that's connected to that. The winners of that will be announced at that, and people can share stories that they've written in addition to just come along and share or listen to stories on the theme of how I got here. And the last event is on the Sunday, and it's a harmony walk on the Sunday morning.
So how were these particular events conceived? Why did you choose this particular set of events?
In consultation with various people around Bathurst, basically. Because last year what I did for the first festival was to think of a range of things that I thought were interesting, and I generated as much interest as I could on Facebook and with flyers, and I said, come to this event and hear these people speak. But this year, I talked to a lot more people about what might be interesting, useful, productive for Bathurst. So, for example, the social connection idea came up in discussions with people working in the area of community development, and specifically Reverend Claire Wright from Uniting Church. And so from that idea, we're inviting other people to join us in that discussion. But the Neighbourhood Centre's lunch is something that's generated specifically from them.
Hmm.
That's something that they do and we support. And similarly for the Bathurst Library, they are interested in storytelling. And so this year they're providing a space for the Wiradjuri elders to share some stories for children and adults.
People love hearing stories, don't they?
They do. They love hearing them, sharing them, telling them themselves. We make meaning out of the world with stories. Facts are contested, but if you take a series of facts and even if you accept them, they don't really mean much on their own. You have to join the dots of facts together, like the joining of the dots of the stars in the sky to make a constellation. You have to interpret facts into something that has meaning, and the way we do that is with stories.
And there are so many stories of people who are coming from other countries.
Oh, absolutely. And that's one of the reasons that we decided to make a theme for this year's festival of How I Got Here. Because How I Got Here is a potential opportunity for people to tell a migration story, but it's also an opportunity to tell a range of any other stories that you like. I mean, you can interpret that idea of how I got here very broadly. You could tell your story, or you could tell your ancestor's story. It could be an intellectual journey to how you got to this point. It could even be how I got here to be 50 kilograms lighter than I was a year ago, or 50 kilograms heavier. It's open to interpretation, but it includes the possibility of a journey.
What about your story, Jock? Where did your family come from?
Well, the name Cheetham probably means Chet Ham, which means a hamlet, which is a very small village, next to a chet, which I think is Old English, for wood. So it means a small village near a wood, which is probably just outside Manchester, because nearly all the Cheethams in the world are from outside Manchester in northern England. So a lot of the family comes from there, some from a bit further north on the Scottish border and some from Ireland. So a mix of English and Celtic background.
And when did your family come to Australia?
Good question. They all seem to come coincidentally around the same time, just before World War I. And as far as I know, a lot of them or all of them came when they were about 18. So they were adventurous. It was post-convicts, so they were free people.
Yeah.
And they emigrated for a better life, I suppose, when they were young and risk-taking, and they established in Brisbane. Then all the different strands met each other, and the rest is history.
So do you reflect on your own heritage and how that's had an impact on your involvement in this festival?
I do, probably most of all from the perspective of being a privileged Anglo-Celtic kind of white person and the advantages that I've had in my life. So I've had a lot of opportunities, more opportunities given to me than denied to me, I would say. And I reflect on the fact that that's not necessarily the case for everybody. I think advantage and opportunity still in Australia today is slanted towards the majority, which is probably broadly described as maybe Northern European or maybe Western European or European, if not Anglo-Celtic. And while that is changing, I think it bears reflection as to what's going on. What is going on in terms of if you're not white in Australia, what are the implications of that? Are there issues that we need to look at and address? Are there things to celebrate in diversity? These are questions that I think about.
And the stories that are likely to be told during the storytelling festival are probably all from people from various parts of the world or who have been born and bred in Bathurst but of a history that is either Wiradjuri or somewhere else. That's inherently really interesting, don't you think? Listening to other people's life stories.
Yeah, it is.
Or heritage stories.
Yeah, I agree. It's amazing because you get a rich level of detail that you can't imagine. You have to hear it to really understand what people have lived. Absolutely, it's great to hear the detail of people's stories because that really helps you to understand their lives. At the Inland Sea of Sound, I was listening to Uncle Bill and he was telling us about his life story and how that's impacted on him and how that relates to the history of Australia and so on. So as a Wiradjuri elder, he reflected on the days before the referendum in 1967, I think, which was so important to recognising Indigenous people's place in Australia. He was talking about his life growing up as a child in and around Bathurst and the Central West. And just that level of access to his story helped me to understand where he came from.
Because that is what makes a personal connection, isn't it? Stories make the personal connection. Otherwise, it's just a matter of thinking, okay, there's that particular group of Italians or Greeks or Vietnamese or something, and they're all them rather than us. Do you think that hearing a person's story changes the way that we view that individual?
Absolutely. I think it's about breaking down stereotypes, and that helps to break down prejudice. So, for example, you mentioned a range of European countries, I think, and I think it's also important to remember that the Anglo aspect of that, the Anglo aspect of multiculturalism, I think it's really important not to think of Anglos as some kind of normal and then everyone else as the multicultural. I think putting the Anglo-Celtic back into multiculturalism is a very inclusive way of seeing it. And so in terms of sharing stories, stereotypes are established, I think, because you don't know people's stories, because you have a limited, generalized, almost probably cliched version of what you think they are based on their group. And that's going to almost for sure going to be an inaccurate version of who they are as individuals and probably who they are as a group. So when you hear the stories, you get the reality. You get insights into what maybe you share with them, what we have in common. So whatever your own background, it can be difficult to understand the other. So if the other is sharing their stories, it helps you to understand them.
Well, I think that the Storytelling Festival is a fabulous initiative and a real way of breaking down those kinds of barriers between what people think of multiculturalism and what they think of their own neighbours who may not have been born in the same part of the world that they were. So congratulations, Jock, on getting this off the ground, and I wish you a great success.
Thank you, and if anyone wants to check it out, it's at www.bathurststorytelling.com.
Marvellous. Thanks a lot for joining the program today, Jock.
Thanks, Susan.
Say you want a revolution. Well, you know, we all want to change the world. You tell me that it's evolution. Well, you know, we all want to change the world. But when you talk about destruction, don't you know that you can count me out?
Don't you know it's gonna be
alright? Alright. Alright. You say you got a real solution. Well, you know, we'd all love to see the plan. You ask me for a contribution. Well, you know, we all do what we can. But if you want money for people with minds that hate, all I can tell you is, brother, you have to wait. All right. All right. All right. Institution. Well, you know, you better free your mind instead. But if you go carrying pictures of Chairman Mao, you ain't gonna make it with anyone anyhow.
Don't you know it's gonna be
all right? All right.
So we're going to hear now from Nalanda Ranawira. Nalanda, thank you very much for joining the program today. Nalanda has been here in Australia for 2 years, and all that time, essentially, he's been in Bathurst. Nalanda, why did you choose Bathurst?
It's an interesting story. I came to Bathurst because my wife came here to study at the CSU University. She started a course in 2014, and now she's been here for 6 years. So once she completed her degree, I came and joined her here with my elder two kids. And she was here with my younger son, who was 6 months at that time, and he's 7 years now. Mm. So that's how we came to Bathurst.
What degree did she do?
Oh, she studied to be an RN.
Okay, so that's a registered nurse, isn't it?
And she completed 2016.
Oh, fantastic.
Yes.
Now, tell me about your journey from Sri Lanka. So you're born in Sri Lanka.
I was born in Sri Lanka, yes.
And your wife also?
Yes.
So 2 years ago, you decided to leave to come and join your wife. And how was the trip and how did you and the kids cope with making the move?
It was not easy. It was a bit of a challenge moving houses, moving countries. But we were quite excited to come. And it's a new experience in life. And the kids were excited because my wife was here before us and we already knew a lot about the city and the country and lots of things to do, lots of things to learn. So the kids were also excited. And so we just wanted to go and see how it happens, how are things there. And I definitely know quality of life is higher here than where I was. So that was an intriguing reason to come as well.
And the kids are probably all now in school at the moment, I suppose.
Oh, yes. So when they came here, the elder two were in primary school, but now they're in high school and the youngest one is still in primary school. Mm. And they're enjoying it. They're loving it here. So that's really good.
Oh, that's fantastic. And when you were in Sri Lanka, you had a professional career. Were you able to find the same kind of career when you moved here to Bathurst?
I was hoping that I'll get something similar to what I was doing in Sri Lanka. But once I came here, I realized Bathurst is a small town, a beautiful small town, which doesn't have the type of work I was doing. But I did apply for a few jobs and I couldn't secure any. So then I came up with the idea of starting my own business. And it was not a bad idea. And it's been 1.5 years now and we are good. We are getting there.
And is there a Sri Lankan community here in Bathurst?
There is a Sri Lankan community, but I haven't met many of them. I know a few families, but I heard in the recent past there had been quite a lot of Sri Lankans coming into the Central West and to Bathurst, but haven't met many of them. But there is a small community.
So how have you found fitting in with the Bathurst community now that you've been here for these 2 years?
It has been very easy for me because I genuinely like people. I like to talk to people, get to know people and to introduce myself. So since I came, like maybe from the second or third day, I started getting involved with the community. I started volunteering at the neighborhood center as a technology tutor and at the co-op as a team member. And then my church community and I joined the squash club and we play squash every day. Not every day, sorry, twice a week.
Yes.
And so that has helped me to get into the community and get to know people. And it has been really easy because people in Bathurst are very, very nice. I've been saying this every time I've been questioned or asked this.
Yeah,
they're very friendly. They are very welcoming. And it has been very easy for me and I'm loving it.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, I think that starting off as you did by getting involved in lots of community groups really helps you to feel that sense of belonging, I guess.
Exactly. If you don't go out there, they wouldn't know that you exist.
Mm.
And if you go out there and introduce yourself and they get to know you, so as far as people know you, they don't mind getting along with you. But even if you don't know anyone, you wouldn't want to get along with them or have any company.
Yeah.
So I think it has been very helpful to go and introduce myself. And I've been involved in the business community, in the business chamber. So I have made lots of friends here. So it's been easy. I think if you want to get yourself going in a new environment, you need to go and introduce yourself to the others.
That's right. You have to definitely get yourself out there.
Yes.
And how do you think the kids have adapted to a new life in Australia?
Surprisingly, they have got on very well as I have done. So they are also quite social and they would have had a bit of difficulties in making friends, but they have good friends, like very close friends now who they go for sleepovers and they come over to our places.
Mm.
So that is nice. And I think they have independently made that move and, you know, got to know their friends and made their way. That's really nice. So it's another thing about getting involved.
That's right.
Yes.
And with the people that in the community groups that you've been involved with, are they curious about your life in Sri Lanka?
Very much, I think. They like to know how have I been and why I've moved and how am I coping here. So I like when everybody asks me this because that gives us a reason to get to know each other or to keep talking. So that's something they always want to know, like, because some people have no idea why people migrate or why would you leave your country and go to another country? They are curious, and I like that, actually.
Yeah. Well, of course, people, they don't know a particular country. There's no point in just, you know, getting all of your facts out of the National Geographic magazine or something like that.
Yes, exactly.
You know, you've got to hear the personal stories of individuals to feel as if you really know what it's like in that country. All right, reflecting on your life in Sri Lanka, what are the best things that you remember?
I've been living there for a long time, so there's quite a lot of memories.
Yeah.
When I was a kid growing up in the mountains and in the rural areas with not many facilities, so it was a beautiful childhood running around mountains and climbing on trees and bathing in the waterfalls. So it has been really nice growing up. The childhood I had, I really treasure, and it's a good memory of mine. But in Sri Lanka, most of the time, 99%, I would say, doesn't matter where you're born and raised, you have to come to the big city to go to uni and to get a job. So I moved when I was about 17 years, and then I started in a big city. So it was a bit rough, but it was nice.
It sounds as if it would have been a huge shock from that childhood that you've just described in the mountains into a huge city.
Yes, so it happened gradually. Like, I went to a school which is close to where I was living, and it was more or less going to school and coming. And then occasionally you go into the city for something that you want to get done. Then when I first started my first job, that's where I started traveling every day. And then later on, I got to know the entire city. And it's not a big city as Sydney or Melbourne, but it is big in the country. So it's highly populated. So it was quite different, but it was nice, I'd say.
So you had to make a big move from your home, your original home, through to the city. So that's obviously given you good preparation for making a move from Sri Lanka to Australia.
Yes, indeed. I'm anyway flexible.
Yes, you'd have to be very adaptable, I think, to,
yes,
to be as successful as you have been.
Thank you. It is not easy to move from one place to another place, but change is something that always can come in life. So if you're not ready to accept change, then it'll be really hard to move on. So I'm always ready for a change. And it had been helpful to me. And I think I've raised my kids in the same way. They're ready for a change. So it had been easy on us.
No, that's, well, you're very fortunate, that's for sure. Now, Linda, let's talk about the Harmony Week. From what I understand, this interview is not your first involvement in Harmony Week. You've been a guest speaker before. And what are you going to be doing this time?
I'll be doing a speech again.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, I'm preparing for it now.
Right.
But it's more or less talking about my experience here and about the community. And I think there are lots of migrants in Bathurst and how we can do things to make Bathurst better as migrants, which is important because we all have our own cultures. It's nice to retain your own culture and have it in your house or maybe show it to others as well.
Well, Australia's interesting because it is no longer a colonial community. It's now a community where there are large numbers of people from all over the world, including my own heritage. I wonder if our concept of being an Australian has changed much over the last few decades. Because now you're Australian, you've been here for 2 years, and you have Sri Lankan heritage, and you'll obviously honour that forever. You've obviously fitted in very well here, and it sounds as if it's very much part of your own personality, personal style, to be a very social person and to go out of your way to meet people and have people understand you. Do you think it's important for all people coming from overseas to do that?
Well, people are different individually. Everyone is different to each other, and I don't think everybody can do that. And I'm very sure I can't do lots of things that others can do. But this little step is very important in life if you want to be recognized and if you want to be there. I think you need to make an effort just to say hi and introduce yourself to someone and just tell something about yourself so that they know you exist.
And also I think what is true is that people who you are speaking to, and I think this is one of the strengths of Harmony Week and the whole storytelling festival, and that is that it is not the individual who has to do everything to get themselves included. It is the role of everybody to create an environment where people feel that they can be included. Do you think that's true?
I think very much it's true, because as a community, you need to accept everyone and make them feel welcome. Otherwise, they would automatically feel they have been left out, but which is not true. Most of the time, it could be something else.
Nalanda, I hope you really enjoy your time during Harmony Week. And I'm sure that those who come along to hear your story are going to hear a message straight from the heart.
Yes, thank you very much, Susan, and thank you very much for having me here. And I'm very sure it'll be a lovely day on the Harmony Day.
I think so, too.
Looking forward to see you too.
Thanks a lot, and thanks for joining the program today.
Thank you.
My next guest in today's program is Jackie Lanigan. Jackie is a migrant support worker for the Neighbourhood Centre in Bathurst. Jackie, thank you very much for joining the program today.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thanks for having me.
Jackie, how long have you been with the Neighbourhood Centre?
Almost 2 years, getting up on 2 years now.
Sounds like a very interesting job.
It is, yes, it's very interesting. There's lots of different people that come in each week and from all sorts of different places and backgrounds, and yeah, it's great to be able to offer them the services that we provide and refer them to different places and things like
So why would they typically be coming to the Neighbourhood Centre?
Well, initially coming to a new town, they don't necessarily know where everything is. I often find getting them on the way towards learning English is a really good start, so I can refer them to the Adult Migrant English Program, or also we have a voluntary English tuition program that we run at the centre.
Yeah.
And that's a really good opportunity for people to volunteer to be able to meet a person from a different background and actually help them, in the sense that some people just want to learn some conversational English,
yeah,
and others want a little bit more structure. And from what I've seen, once a person learns a little bit more English, they become a lot more confident, and then it enables them to sort of participate in with the other services, or just things like finding a place to live and an employment, you know, that sort of thing.
So, okay, so you're right at the beginning of that vast journey for so many of them.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, no, that sounds wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, Jackie, I know that you're involved in the organisation for Harmony Day. Tell me, why do you think Harmony Day is important?
Well, I think Harmony Day is really important because it just gives us a day to stop and actually come together from different cultures. Say our culture gets the opportunity to experience other cultures and multiculturalism that happens in Australia.
Mm.
And maybe people haven't had that many opportunities to meet people from other cultures. So it gives them the opportunity to do that, to try the different foods, see what people from other cultures bring to Australia.
Do you think that Australian culture has changed very much over the last several decades?
Oh yeah, I think tremendously. If you think back to even the decades just after the war, when people came a lot from Greece and Italy, and then after that again, people from Vietnam, and just been people coming from all over the world, that has enriched the culture.
And here in Bathurst, or here in Kelso at least, we had the migrant camp where so many people came from Europe after the Second World War.
Mm-hmm.
And thousands of people came through that migrant camp in this environment, in this culture here.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm thinking that Bathurst was a bit of a leader in terms of integrating people from other cultures into what was then the Australian culture.
Yeah.
And of course, now that Australian culture is changing with all of its different personalities and backgrounds.
Yeah, that's
which
right.
Is absolutely fascinating, isn't it?
Oh, it is, yeah. Mm. And just what different nationalities actually bring enriches our society as a whole, I think. You know, it can be like even sharing food, and it breaks down a lot of barriers that at the end of the day we're all human beings and we all want to have a sense of belonging. And yeah, I just think that, you know, people from different cultures just empower and enrich us, basically.
Let's talk about the Harmony Day event.
Yeah.
Now, remind me, what is the date for that again?
That's on Saturday, the 21st of March.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got a very particular event on that day, haven't you?
Yes, we do. The Harmony Day event starts at 10 o'clock and goes until midday. It's in the forecourt by the library and the art gallery on Keppel Street.
Yeah.
It's a free event, so there'll be free food and there'll be lots of dancing and some drumming going on. The public will be able to participate if they like. There'll be some Tamil dances, and people are encouraged to wear their national dress if that would be something they'd like to do, to share that part of their culture.
Now, I love cooking. Tell me about the food that they're going to be bringing.
Well, it's going to be a Sri Lankan focus this year, and there'll be a vegetarian option and a chicken option of little tasty rice kind of meal. There's going to be like cupcakes as well.
So you were here last year too, weren't you, when you had Harmony Day?
Yes.
Is it the same kind of structure?
It is relatively the same sort of structure, yep.
Yeah, and who came? Were you expecting to come this time?
Oh, well, actually all sorts of members of the community came. There was a lot of different cultures. There was some Iranian people. We had some Bollywood dancers, which was fun. And, oh, there was people from China, Sri Lanka. And, you know, some people did come in their national dress. There was some bagpipes at the beginning. So, yeah, all it was a real, you know, meeting of all sorts of cultures, actually.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
So do you expect the same sort of thing to happen this time around?
Yes, I do. I think what was great about it was that sort of being early in the morning, there's people out and about, they kind of saw some movement and dancing, and it kind of attracted people from down around the street, you know.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Which was good. Yeah,
no, that's good. Mm. And from your accent, Jackie, I'm figuring that you're not, or you may not have been born in Australia. So what's your national dress?
Oh, well, that's a good question. Well, so I was born in New Zealand, but my parents are Irish and they immigrated to New Zealand. And actually, when I was growing up, I was doing a lot of Irish dancing. So I guess my national dress was my Irish dancing dresses that I used to wear. And but it's interesting in the sense that I'm a first generation New Zealander. My parents are Irish, but now I'm actually an Australian citizen. So I guess I'm like a lot of people who have parents have immigrated to this part of the world, and then, you know, you're the first generation born. And so
why did your parents decide to immigrate to New Zealand?
Well, they came, and it was 1951, and so it was not so long after the Second World War, and things were, you know, relatively tough. And
there's a lot of rationing still, wasn't there?
Yeah, and they were in the northern part of England, and my dad had a couple of sisters who were in New Zealand already. And so they thought that they'd go, they initially thought they'd just go for a couple of years, like I guess a lot of young people thought that.
Yes.
And they got on the ship and took them 12 weeks to get there. And they met, but they met people that remained their friends for the rest of their life on the ship coming out. And yeah, so they came to New Zealand.
Do you think your own family's experiences sort of sensitised you to the importance of something like Harmony Day?
Yes, I do. And also the work that I do, the migrant support. When I meet people and they've made the journey to come to live here in Australia, it's, you know, a massive decision.
Yes.
And I think that Harmony Day gives people the opportunity to sort of experience a bit of a sense of belonging and some social inclusion.
You must hear a lot of people's stories about why they made the decision to come and what their experience is like coming over and how they're managing now.
Yeah.
I guess it's not possible to pull out just one or two as examples, but can you think of an example of the experience, just to give us a sense of what might be one family's experience?
Okay, well, what I can say is something that I've noticed as a recurring theme is that people want to give their children a better life.
Mm.
And that's something that I've seen, you know, witnessed over and over. Also, I think some people are coming from countries that are experiencing, you know, a lot of unrest at the moment, and also quite oppressive societies, particularly to women. And I think from my observations that people really see Australia as a free society. And also, at the end of the day, you know, it's a peaceful, safe country. And, you know, even if they've had some really challenging experiences getting here and be some challenges and issues with their visas and
navigating that whole immigration process.
Yeah, navigating.
Must be.
Yeah, it's not easy.
Complicated.
Yeah, it is complicated.
But they've got to follow through on all of those bureaucratic procedures.
Yeah.
And but once that's over, You're obviously there to help them to, once they've navigated the immigration process, you're now helping them to navigate the settling in process, really, aren't you?
Yes, yes, absolutely. And that can also involve helping them. Some people come from backgrounds where they may have had little or no education. That's not, definitely not like the majority or anything, but there are some situations like that. So actually helping them with their children, learning about the curriculum and also, you know, after school activities, and because a lot of people don't know about that sort of thing existing.
Depending on what country it is too, of course.
Yeah, depending on what country it is. Yeah,
some countries, by the way, naturally enough, are doing a lot better than Australia is.
Yeah.
But,
Also, some people come, they're very highly qualified in their field, but they have difficulty getting a job within that field.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I bet they really appreciate the effort that you put into it.
Yeah, they seem to. Yeah. Yeah, no, it's good, and it's very rewarding to be able to actually help people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And on Harmony Day itself, do you expect to see many of those people who've been to see you in your professional capacity?
Yes, I do. From what I experienced last year, they seem to actually relish the opportunity to come out, and some of them in their national dress, but just to be out and about, and a sense of coming together and being a part of their new community that they're here and involved in and living in here in Bathurst. So,
Jackie, just to recap then on the events of Harmony Day. So it's happening on
Saturday, the 21st of March.
And what time is this event starting?
It starts at 10 a.m. and goes until midday.
Okay. Now, to start off the event, how does that begin?
Well, there will be a welcome to country, which I think is a fabulous way that the traditional landowners can be celebrated on their land and sharing the day together.
And that's when you're going on to all of the rest of the events of that time.
Yes, that's correct, yeah.
And so there's lots of dancing and lots of really yummy food, etc.
Mm-hmm.
And if people wanted to find out more about this particular event, where should they go?
Well, they could look on the Bathurst Regional Council website or the Neighbourhood Centre website, and they'll be able to find out further information. In fact, you could go to bathurst.nsw.gov.au and then you'll definitely find out everything you need to know.
Jackie, thank you very much for joining the program today.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for having me.
We've been listening to Jackie Lunigan. Jackie is a migrant support worker for the Bathurst Neighbourhood Centre. I'm sure it's going to be a great success, and I hope you have a lot of fun.
Thank you very much, Susan. Shine up.
so much love be inside of you.
Been listening to Cool Climate Living. I'm Susan Lacey. Now, what you may not know is that you can participate in Radio 2MCE in more ways than listening to this program. You can subscribe. For every subscription, we can deliver great community radio and you even get some freebies. Subscribers can also get involved with 2MCE's online presenters or behind-the-scenes volunteers. Subscribers help with equipment upgrades and new technology, and resources and presenter training. So if you'd like to know more about how to become a subscriber, go to our website. Thanks for joining me today. See you soon.
Wall of Kintyre, only strolling in from the sea. My desire always to be on all of Kintyre. Far have I traveled and much have I seen, dark distant mountains with valleys of green, past painted deserts, the sun sets on fire as he carries me home to the Mull of Kintyre. Mull of Kintyre, oh mist rolling in from the sea, I desire tears in the rain still take me back where my memories remain. Flickering embers grow higher and higher as they carry me back to the Mull of Kintyre.
desire.